In the last decade, the city of Cambridge has lost a lot of trees, more than 12 football fields worth each year. Because most of the loss has been on private land, the city council has temporarily banned people from cutting down big trees in Cambridge. WBUR's Miriam Wasser takes a look at how that policy is working and why some Cambridge homeowners think it goes too far.
Lifelong Cambridge resident Peter Cohen loves trees. He grew up climbing them, admiring them, and to this day puts a lot of thought and care into the ones in his yard. And Cohen has a big yard by Cambridge standards.
When we moved here, my wife wanted to have a big yard for our kids. This was, you know, a great place to run around, play soccer.
Walking around his property near Porter Square, Cohen describes how things have changed in the 25 years he's lived here. There's the one small elm tree in his front yard that's grown so big, the fence between it and the street now bows out. There's a stand of small pine trees that he planted after his hemlocks died from an invasive beetle. And there's the million-dollar condos a developer built next door.
This thing next to us is very big, it's very close to our property line, and casts big shadows where we used to have a lot of light.
The homes also have windows that look straight into his backyard. There's a Norway maple tree between the two buildings, but because it's so tall, the trunk is the only thing blocking the view. Cohen says he'd like to cut this tree down and extend a row of shorter evergreen trees to get some privacy.
The alternative is to basically put an 8-foot fence, which wouldn't be very nice for them to look at, wouldn't be very nice for us to look at. So I'd like to extend that row. But now I have a problem. There's an ordinance that says I can't take down the Norway maple.
Welcome to Cambridge, where people can't cut down big trees in their yard. The ban came about after researchers found that 72% of all canopy loss in the city over the last decade was on private property. Under the rule, no one can remove a tree that's 8 inches in diameter or more. If someone did, they'd be charged thousands of dollars, though it'd be hard to find an arborist willing to defy the ban in the first place. There are exceptions for diseased, dead, or dangerous trees, but to Cohen, even these are fraught. To show why, he points out another Norway maple tree. Its bark is peeling off, and there's a patch of black rot near the base. It looks dead.
So a certified arborist is supposed to come out and look at this obviously dead tree and say, oh yes, this is a dead tree, and then the city is satisfied.
The cost of bringing out an arborist? Between $250 and $300 per tree. Cohen says that's a lot of money to spend on a tree he already knows is dead.
The city's ordinance is basically saying, I don't trust the citizenry. They don't want to rely on me and my good judgment.
Trees are one set of stakeholders, and they need to be prioritized more than we have in the past.
Jan Devereaux is an environmental advocate in Cambridge, and up until a few weeks ago, served as vice mayor of the city. In that role, she says she learned that even if Cambridge plants a lot of new trees, it will continue to lose canopy unless it finds a way to preserve its older trees, too. And for this reason, she and other council members decided a ban was necessary.
We don't have much control over trees on private property, and that's sort of parcel of the notion of, you know, if I want to cut down a tree in my backyard, that's none of your business. Well, we started to think, hey, actually, it may be.
Towns like Lexington, Arlington, and Concord have had rules about removing trees on private property for years. Plus, Devereaux says the timing felt right. Cambridge is in the process of designing a master plan for its urban forest, so why not halt all tree cutting until it's done? Not everyone on City Council was thrilled with the idea of the ban, but it passed and went into effect last March.
Yeah, there was some grumbling, you know, predictably, but I think there have been also a lot of people who thanked us for this because they have watched neighbors cut down trees, and it's, I can't describe it, but it's tragic to see a big tree removed.
A year later, with the ban set to expire in about a month, the issue is back before the City Council. At a public meeting earlier this week, residents debated whether to scrap the ban or renew it while the City Council works out a more nuanced set of tree rules. City Councilor Patty Nolan.
Look, I think we all agree some of the cons are not so great, but every single one of those cons can be addressed in part of the new ordinance.
Some of the ideas for this new ordinance include whether there's a way to reduce the cost of a tree assessment and whether there should be a different standard for invasive species. Some people also advocated for a tree replacement system, so that if someone wants to cut down a tree, they can either pay a fee or plant a new one. A lot of these things sound fairly straightforward until you start talking about details. How to determine a tree's worth, for example.
If you calculate trees in different ways, for instance, the area of the trunk and charge by the area, the numbers become astronomically higher. I mean, no one can afford $70,000 to cut down one tree, and that's the kind of calculations you're talking about when you calculate for area.
Maggie Bowes is co-chair of the Public Planting Committee in Cambridge. She says some cities look at diameter, while others consider area or use complicated formulas to determine ecosystem benefits.
We really want to deter people from cutting down trees. We don't just want them to pay some dollars per caliper inch.
According to Deanna Moran of the Conservation Law Foundation, designing a comprehensive and fair tree ordinance is always hard and almost always full of trade-offs. She says this is especially true when you're talking about cities.
I think it's an issue that a lot of people are grappling with, and there are no kind of off-the-shelf solutions right now. In a place like Massachusetts, where a lot of our cities and towns are really densely populated and there's not a lot of land area, we deal with these issues at a much greater level than some of our peer cities in other parts of the country do.
Moran's not taking side in the Cambridge debate, but she says part of the challenge for both camps is that there's little data about how well ordinances like this work. Whether the city council extends the moratorium before it expires next month remains to be seen. But one thing is clear. No one wants to see more canopy loss on private property. It's just that, as always, the devil is in the details. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Miriam Wasser.